go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. He had the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is Jerusalem." Woman, Jesus replied, "believe me, a time has come when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God in spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "The one speaking to you, I am he."
As we continue our reflections on healing today, we turn to one of the deepest questions. What needs healing in our lives? It can be very easy to encounter a series such as Grant Us Healing and feel a sense of connection. I mean, I felt a connection to this theme when it was suggested. Yes, I thought, I need healing. And I do. And most likely you do too. The awareness of need is clear. The specifics of what and why and how, well, that's a bit more ambiguous. We wrestle with the delineation between root causes and symptoms, there is no question that things hurt in so many ways. But is what hurts really what's all that is wrong? Or is there more? If we ask for healing, for that specific need, is that it? Or will we find more places that whatever caused that original trouble will just bubble up again? What is the deeper need? When I was on the board of directors at Denver Urban Ministries, the staff excelled at asking the question about deeper needs. Someone would walk in and say, "Hey, I need some food." And that person would leave with food and utility assistance and a refreshed resume and a voicemail box. What is the deeper need? When I was learning pastoral care, I heard incredible examples of people who would walk in for care to speak with someone. They would walk into an appointment wanting to work, for example, on their anger. But by the end of their work, not a single session, but after time, they've come to realize that in order to settle their anger, they would have to tend to their hurt and their insecurity by asking questions they didn't know they had. What is the deeper need? That is a question that our scriptures engage over and over, and they do so through the life and stories of Jesus. Jesus, through his loving compassion, never stops at a quick fix or simply a surface-level response. Jesus doesn't even call it good enough when someone thinks their needs have been met. They think they're happy, but he knows they're not. Because Jesus always looks deeper. It's something we see in our scripture today with the woman at the well. Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman getting water from the well midday. Now, the fact that Jesus is even in Samaria in and of itself is a statement. Most Jewish people would have taken a route to avoid Samaria. Jesus does not. Not only does he go through Samaria, he then stops to talk with Samaritans. Both of these acts are countercultural. They're defying the us versus them attitudes that abounded in the day. So we will use this as a reminder, a foundational reminder that Jesus doesn't play favorites. That Jesus has come to grant healing to all people. And that all means all. But this story carries more details that an original audience would pick up on naturally. Let's think about it. I mean, it's midday. No one went to gather water midday. That's the hottest time to do so. And that gets heavy. Carrying gallons of water in the hot Samaritan sun. No, no. Everyone went in the morning. Unless you were trying to avoid the everyone who was there. We hear Jesus recount the layers of this woman's personal story. But even the timing of their meeting tells us once again, Jesus is choosing to associate with people whom others avoid, and even who avoid other people. Jesus has come to grant healing to all people. And he's come to remind us that all means all. Now, as they begin to converse, Jesus opens with a seemingly basic question. Would you please get me some water? And the woman at the well calls him on everything we've just discussed. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. This isn't how things work. You don't want to be seen talking to me. And Jesus counters with a response that opens even more conversation. If you knew who was asking, you'd ask for more. I'm so grateful the author of the gospel recounts this story with all the pieces that happens next. It could have just been a quick tidying up, but no. The woman and Jesus have this exchange where each person starts pushing the other with questions and responses. This woman is probing. She is asking questions that require Jesus to explain himself. So many other gospel stories we find. Jesus is surrounded by people who already know about him, or at least think they do. Crowds of people who call him Savior and Messiah. They expect nothing but great things from him, and they take that simply on rumor. But she has not encountered all the hype. All she knows is that this strange man is making big claims. This is an important touch point for us. Especially for those of us who might worry that our skepticism could keep us from receiving what we seek. The woman at the well was not only skeptical, she wasn't actually seeking anything. She wasn't prostrate at the feet of the one she called Messiah, praying, begging even for healing. Not that there's anything wrong with that. She was an unassuming person with a complicated life, just going about her business, trying to make it through the day while avoiding ridicule and judgment. When God's love and grace interrupts her to offer her healing she didn't even realize she needed. Did she have pain in her life? Her avoidance of those who would judge her tells us she did. Did she need and want healing? Yes, she did. Did she think this Jewish guy would be the one to offer it to her? And did she know how deep the healing would be? No. No, she did not. Jesus names the complexities of her life, the points of pain and the insecurity, the places of need and want. But Jesus recognizes that this woman, like all of us, has deeper needs. His offer, his very first offer, is for living water, something she understandably has no context for. Because Jesus has switched to metaphor while she is trying to respond to his request for literal water. What the scripture is engaging here is the reality of deeper needs. Yes, regular water that she's trying to pull out of the well meets a need. Thirst is quite real. But looking at her life, Jesus knows she is searching for more than water. She has been looking for validation, for connection, for something more in life. It is what she thought she would find in relationships and other opportunities that she's spent her life chasing. She's been looking for something. All those things, like a cup of water, may have whetted the parched feeling for a moment, but they could not quench the deeper need. And Jesus wants to meet that deeper need. So Jesus offers living water. You see, living water is an offer to tend to the underlying longing, the deeper need that has been shaping her life. Living water is healing. Living water is dynamic. It searches and knows us. Living water is grace. Healing comes through God's grace to love us as we are, even those parts of our lives we do not fully understand ourselves. And part of healing is helping us know ourselves more fully. God's grace, the love expressed in Jesus, will walk with us and work with us to discover all that is underneath that we do not yet know or understand, but does shape us. God's love and grace will work with us to uncover the beloved child of God that has been hidden by the judgments of the world and our own self-doubt. It is healing to find that beloved child within us. God's grace and love will work to tend to the wounds and free us from the baggage we have accumulated on our way through life thus far. This is the deeper healing Jesus offers when he meets us at the well. We are offered grace that meets us where we are, offers of healing for what we know we need, and for those depths we have yet to understand. And that grace meets us with no reservations based on what we may have done. Even if the need for healing we have was brought on by our own choices, what we find in scriptures and can experience in our own lives is the love and grace of God going out of its way to find us. And then working dynamically in our lives with radical acceptance to grant us healing in ways we didn't even know to ask for. And it does this because we are loved, valued, and cherished by a God that grants us healing.